debuted to the world, and she told the world that the value of her brand is $5 a month. That's the value of her brand. $5 a month. And what she'll foolishly tell herself is that she can raise the prices later. It doesn't work that way. The value of your brand is $5 a month. That's damn near criminal. Damn near criminal. There's a steep cost to not wanting to be told anything. There's a very steep cost to that. So for those of you who wish to build a brand, understand there are rules of the road. And folks are going to tell you there's a million different ways to get there, but in reality, there's not. In reality, there isn't. And if you break those rules are liable to break you. However, you might disagree. Therefore, the telephone lines are now open. The number is 646-787-1933. That's 646-787-1933. Your personal access code to the business on Patreon. You're all invited to go ahead and join us here. You know, as you know, Zoom callers get priority. Having a little discussion here today about branding, about the power of a brand. Having a discussion today about the power of branding, how that works. How some of the folks who thought they were going to leave us behind and they were going to make it on their own, you know, it reminds me of Birdman. When Juvenile left, BG got locked up, all the other folks wanted to leave Cash Money Records, Birdman was like, man, I ain't stopped moving nothing. My car ain't stopped moving. I had some niggas who jumped out the car, but my car ain't stopped moving. I guess it's because I'm from Louisiana. I see it the same damn way. There's a whole bunch of folks out here, they get a chronic, probably terminal case of the big head. Well, don't worry, I'm going to run this. He don't know nothing. Don't worry, I'll take care of this myself. I'll run this myself. Okay, then they get their asses out there, and they don't really know it. Remember when I taught you all about being able to do these things, and I get folks who call me for one-on-one, what's one of the first things I tell you? You need to know what you're selling. You need to know what it is that you're selling. And the problem is this right here tells you this is a person who doesn't know what she's selling. Transformation specialist, mom, online coach, personal trainer, what the hell? That's too. And then there's more than that. That's too damn much. We don't know what you're selling. You don't know what you're selling. You don't know who you are, and you don't know what you're selling. It's impossible to create a brand when nobody knows what the product is. You can't have craftsmanship when we don't know what the product is. It has to be easily and readily recognizable and identifiable, and you ain't. You're not. And what I was doing was creating an opportunity there so you could go ahead and give yourself a space and give yourself a little bit of room to be able to make a case for yourself. Let me tell you something. Just telling folks I'm high, yellow, and pretty, that's not a sales pitch. There's plenty of high, yellow, pretty chicks out there, badder than you, but okay, what else you got? She wasn't ready to answer the question of what else you got, and she didn't recognize it. She took it personal like she was being mocked and being destroyed. It's like, no, you're being built. You're being built. But her ego didn't survive it. And now, as a result, her brand isn't going to survive it. They tell themselves all kinds of fantasies and fairy tales. Here's where the damn rubber meets the road. Here's where the rubber meets the road. You're not in good shape. Tried to warn you. You thought it was going to be easy. It is not. Thought it was going to be easy. It is not. It's not going to be that simple. What are you going to do now? You're going to sit up here and go open the OnlyFans? Good luck on that. Which reminds me of one other thing right here. You see what it is, V? I know what it is. It's like so many of these chicks, you fancy yourself the next Brittany Renner. That's the problem. All y'all sit up here online and y'all look at two women, Kim Kardashian and Brittany Renner. None of you did what Kim Kardashian did to prepare herself. And absolutely none of you did what Brittany Renner did. Brittany Renner didn't wait till 32 years old to get in the game. When she did, she didn't have a bunch of tattoos and a bunch of kids. She started running around with Drake and the rest of these dudes. That's how she got her name out there. She must be bad enough that Drake and the rest of these dudes are talking to her. You all didn't do that. You all didn't do that. You sat up here and had kids with a fella who has no net value. You sat up here and started packing on the weight and then packing on the tattoos. Then you decide way later you're going to try to glam up. Baby, Drake is not on line three for you. Drake is not on line three. Future is not on line nothing. You don't have those options. You're not fooling anybody. I'm not saying this to be mean. I'm saying that we all understand what it is you're fantasizing is going to happen. We're just telling you that's not going to occur. That's not going to happen. That's not what it's going to be. It really isn't. It really isn't. The best strategy for her to be would be to recognize exactly where she's at. Instead, she's fantasizing like she's somebody that we all know she isn't. And that's what the rest of them do. Now they're in their damn 30s fantasizing that they're women in their early 20s with no kids, no tattoos. I'm just as good as Brittany Renner. Why? Because 59,000 bum niggas on Instagram like your page? You think that's the way it works? Brittany Renner isn't where she is because 500,000 no-name dudes liked her Instagram page. She is where she is because one or two high-value rappers liked her Instagram page. It wasn't because of the 500,000 people. It was because of the one or two. That was what did it. The one or two. And when you can be taught that that's what it is, then you can start elevating when you understand that that's what it is. In her case, she is unable to do so. That's the problem. In her case, she has been unable to do so. Now she's paying for it. We're going to go ahead and go to the phone lines here. I've got somebody on Zoom here. Let me see. I've got Damon on Zoom. What's on your mind?
Hey, Jay, how's it going? Can you hear me?
Yes. What's on your mind? Okay, he must not be able to hear us. We hear you just fine.
Okay, I unmuted myself. Thank you for taking me. Okay,
there's some sort of delay going on here or something, I think. I don't know why you're not hearing me in real time, but there's some sort of delay going on, I think. So let me give you a minute here to see if you can get that wrapped up, get that straightened out, because there must be some sort of delay going on. Not really sure why that's happening. The telephone lines are now open. The number is 646-77-1933. Let me get caller from area code 702. You're on live with the business. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Denomis from the chat. I'm calling from Vegas.
Denomis from the chat, what's on your mind?
Question for you. How do you know when your brand is ready for debut?
Very good question. How do you know that the brand is ready for debut? Well, first of all, you need to be aware of what the public wants. You need to know what you're selling. So if your brand, if what you're doing is easily copied, easily replicated, that's your first clue. The brand ain't ready. The brand's not ready. See, when we talk about craftsmanship, remember I said that's a work of art. That's craftsmanship. Now, for those of you who don't know, yes, I did go to school for graphic design and everything. And take a look at the logo for the business. Now, this is different from the one that's on YouTube and whatnot because it actually says the words on it, but I did that logo from start to finish on its own. I wanted something that was very simple, readily recognizable. No matter, I had to keep take into account that, you know, when it goes on YouTube, it actually shows up in several different sizes, on the channel page, on the app, on the videos themselves. So you see, it'll show up in various sizes. And some of the early ones I did, I didn't like because when you change the size of the logo, it made it hard to make out what it was. So having a little I felt that having a little picture was a problem. Instead, I wanted a design. So when I realized I wanted a design, I said, okay, let's go ahead and take it from that standpoint instead. Let's go ahead and make it a design. So that way, no matter how small or big it was, that plus the color scheme made sure it was readily recognizable. So when you go take a look at other YouTube channels, Magnate Media and other folks, they've got designs, they got logos, and I decided I wanted a logo, not a picture. So when it was debuted to people, as you can see, it is simple but elegant, readily recognizable. It's not just a picture, and it actually has some style to it. So what that's showing is the mindset of the person doing it. So it's showing this person certainly has ambitious ideas. Now you need to make sure that what you're doing is already doing that. How do you know you're ready? First of all, remember what I taught you all. Second of all, what I taught you all for years. Where's your proof of concept? Where's your proof of concept? If you have not been doing it at a lower level, if you, Eric Bischoff said that his whole goal when he took over WCW, he wasn't trying to make $1 million. He said my goal was to make $1 a profit because I figured if I can make $1 a profit, I can make $1 million. If you can't beat five people, I'd be a fool to think you could beat 5,000. If you can't get into the top 50%, I'd be a fool to believe you can get into the top 10. So next is your proof of concept. Have you actually thrown some blows and gotten out there and proven that you can take customers, take interest from other people? Have you shown you can do that? And then once it becomes clear that you've been capable at a smaller level, think of it like a corporation. If I can put you in charge of one store, and then that store becomes the number one unit that we have, well, then now I can probably start thinking about putting you in charge of a region. But if you can't win some of the smaller battles, I'd be a fool to think you can win anything bigger. So those are the two things I would tell you first and foremost. You have a fundamental rethink of yourself that you executed, and then you've demonstrated that you've won these other battles. When Kevin Samuels was stealing my stuff, it's like, okay, it's valuable enough to be stolen, and you can't be foolish about that either. You can't just be somebody saying, well, I think they took what I did. You see, I had folk hitting me up and saying, Jason, hey, this dude is taking whole parts of what you're saying. Okay, let me pull up and see what's happening over there. After I heard enough people saying, I'm like, I'll be damned, there it is. The 6 months to know whether or not you fight material, there it is. Okay, so it's valuable enough that this guy is stealing it. You must be a damn good comedian if Steve Harvey is stealing your jokes. You must be good if he's stealing your jokes. You might want to think about throwing some bigger blows now. If you're good enough that people that you consider to be on a higher level are stealing from you, folks who are showing up on YouTube algorithm are stealing from you, okay. Now, in my case, you all know I was already out there in that degree. I was already moving the way I wanted to move. But for the rest of you here, those are things to keep in mind. So there isn't a set time to it. But if you're asking me what are the major markers I'm looking for, okay, we have a identity, which is what a logo is, that we've done this enough that we know who our customer is and we know what we're selling. The logo is supposed to embody that you know who you are. You know your identity. I could have just put up the regular font of regular B. Could have done that too. Didn't do that. So first of all, do you know who you are and do you know what you're selling? If you know for a fact, then that should show up in measurable terms, which is your proof of concept. Whatever it is I'm trying to do, I should be taking some market share from some of these smaller folk, and it should get gradually bigger. And then last but not least, if other folk are copying and imitating the style, I mean, it's like getting into the mafia. If you're a fella out here on the streets and you making moves and dudes are hearing about you making hits and making scores, the word's going to get around. The word, so you're going to need patience. But the word, if you are actually putting in the work, and you making things happen, the word's going to get around about you. The word's going to get around. See, there's so many people out here that they are so damn impatient. They're so damn impatient that they try to become millionaires overnight. That ain't the way it works. It's going to be a few people that'll happen for, but for the most part, it's not going to happen overnight like that. So if you get out here and you do the work, it's like, okay, don't worry. You're kicking up enough dust. Folks going to hear about you. If you're doing what you're going to be doing, they're going to hear about you. They're going to hear about you. And it's better for them to hear about you and come to you than for you to be running around chasing people. See, that's where you have true value. You got true value, folks come looking for you. That's how I can be shadow banned on YouTube. And yet, if folks even get a little bit of exposure to it, they remember it. Yeah, that's the way it works. That's the way it works.
That's very interesting. I do have a second question, a bit of a different topic, if you don't mind. When it comes to us in like the B1 sphere, you got somebody that was, and I'm not pointing any names, I'm not trying to bring up drama or anything, I just want to know some information. You got someone here that's basically a hater and everything and doing things that are really off code. You really thought this person was solid. What does someone like a Jason Black do in this situation? Do you just ignore it, or do you reprimand them, maybe as a group or something, to try to bring them back into the fold? You know?
Well, if it's not germane to what I'm discussing here today, we're talking about branding. So if it's not germane to that, we have to wait for some other time to discuss that. But right now, as that's concerned, make sure you keep those rules in mind. I'm telling you there. Add some patience to it. And here's the real thing. If you are persistently working, then everything's going to come together. The people who have the biggest issues are the ones who talk and talk and talk and talk and don't ever execute anything. They just sit around talking forever. Sit around analyzing. Sit around, ooh, let me move the numbers over here and estimate. You're never going to learn anything. You damn sure will not accomplish anything by sitting. You will only truly learn by doing, and you'll only accomplish by putting it to work. If you don't do that or refuse to do that, then you'll spend forever hypothesizing, lecturing, talking, discussing. That's what messes you up.
Study.
Thank you very much for the call here. Let me see if we got Damon. Go ahead and unmute yourself.
You hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you, but you're real muddled.
I'm coming closer to the mic. I think I'm using my PC mic here.
Okay, that's better now you got closer to it. All right, what's on your mind?
Thank you for taking my call this morning. I just had a quick question. When we talk about like this internet age where people are like, they're going through this brand tarnishing, like their own personal brand, and just knowing that whatever you put on the net and your history stays on the net, what would be your advice to those who've taken that route when someone pulls like an audit, like in the case of B? You know, down the line, she may want to try her hand with someone else, but if they pull an audit and see, hey, look, I see you cross Jason, you know, those couple years back, you know, why should I trust you? What advice would you give to someone who's trying to rebrand?
Well, definitely, can it be done? Sure, can be done. But what you don't want to do is put a bunch of headwinds on yourself. That's the problem. A lot of these folks sit here and they put a bunch of headwinds on themselves. And that's a deadly dangerous thing to be doing. You don't, especially if you're young and starting out. When you're starting out, you don't have any allies. I don't know why we're getting feedback on your end, brother, but I'm getting feedback there or something. So I don't know why that's happening. If you got speakers playing, it's probably hearing me. But you don't want to sit up here and make unnecessary adversaries. When you're young in the game and you're just coming up, you can't afford to make a bunch of enemies. You can't afford to do that. You have got you really need to be trying to make as many allies as you can. There's the real mistake somebody in that position would make. So when you burn bridges early, that's the deadliest mistake you can make, especially among influential people. When you burn them early, you need to be trying to stack as many allies as you can, because those can be fatal mistakes. Remember, how many people try to become famous, try to become accomplished? Okay, how many of them actually succeed? So you're dealing in a game of inches. You're dealing in a game of margins. It's already hard enough. it's very easy to make a fatal mistake that you never recover from. That's very easy to do. My advice is don't do it. Well, Jason, what do you do about it? Don't do it. Don't. You look, this is not a game for egomaniacs. This is not a game for prima donnas. This is not a game for divas. You walk in the door telling yourself you're the baddest broad. All of them think they bad. You're just the latest. You're just the latest one to walk in the door. Every chick up in here thinks she bad. From size 4 to size 24, they all think they bad. You didn't bring anything special. But if you're a legend in your own mind, you start giving yourself all kinds of accolades you really don't have. And that's where somebody like that would be at now. So I would not envy that position. It's going to be very, very difficult to course correct because now you started making it. Not only did the video not reflect on you the way you wanted it to, I'm not going to say it was bad, but it wasn't the way you wanted it to. Now you don't have anybody on your side. Brittany Renner was at least smart enough to get some allies before she started acting crazy.
One more question for you, bro, before I leave the call. So I recently obtained my Microsoft Azure Architect Cert, and I have my AWS Associate, and I'm studying for the architect for AWS. I met a gentleman in a boot camp that works for a government agency, and I might have to holler at you on the back end, but I'm currently in a position where I'm trying to transition to cloud support with this Microsoft Azure Cert. And I'm just prepping for, I went through an initial interview and they're lining me up for a second one to talk through the process. They mentioned background checks and just sweeping through. Like my presence on social media is like little to none. Outside of our Twitter space where, I like a lot of our pro-black, ideals and B1 ideals and theories. And I turn my profile private and like, in preparation for like any sweeps, like I don't have any felonies, no concerning issues outside of that. I don't have any photos just floating around online holding alcohol or any type of like images that I'm like supporting anything. But I need are you familiar with like high end background checks? Would I be dinged for a private Twitter account? Like what's like your advice on that type of?
I mean, well, you can always pay a private investigator if you want to do that, but I mean, is it really that serious?
Right.
I mean, is it really that serious?
Yeah, and I've never been through this level.
I mean, if that's really what you're concerned about, because if you're trying to scrutinize something, what usually happens in politics, for example, they hire a private investigator to see what they can look into. Because if it's going to go beyond social media, then that's somebody's going to have to go manually look for things. So if it's not something that Google is going to turn up, because they only got so much time that they're going to spend in looking into it. So without that occurring, that's what it would be. So if it's that serious to you and you're that worried about it, the better avenue would be to hire a private investigator and see what they find. There's always a cursory background check they can do, because usually what employers just do is a criminal background check. Now you're saying, well, they might go into social media. Okay, then they're going to do a social media background check. Are you concerned it will go further than that? Because if you are, because that's the way you sound, well, then that would be somebody who would actually do some digging. And it really just depends on whether or not they have the time and resources to do all that. But I would only really, being a former employer myself, I would really only do that if I was really worried about something. It's really a sensitive position, but you would already know if that's what they were going to do. So if that's the case, then you want to do that.
That's all I got. Thank you for taking my time.
Thank you very much for checking in with us here. And I have to say former for information purposes. I have to say former for that. I have part-time employees now, but as far as anybody I would do a background check on, no. I don't think that's necessarily required for me. But certainly been there, done that. If it gets that far along, though, you would know. Let me get caller from area code 919. You're on live with The Business. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Andre from Raleigh.
Andre from Raleigh, what's on your mind?
Hey, I had a question about the branding where I'm actually changing firms and going to one of those like major law firms you talked about in the past. And I was curious, do any of those rules that you mentioned, do they alter depending on exactly what you're trying to market? Because what I'm trying to market versus, say, someone like a V is completely different.
Well, I mean, branding starts with yourself. So let's be very, very clear about that. Branding starts with yourself. So you're branding yourself every day. You're creating a brand of yourself every day. Most of y'all got discount brands, but you got one. So first and foremost, start with yourself. When you think about the concept of branding, start with you. When I walk through the door, what am I communicating? What is the perceived value that I'm communicating? Because everything else is transporting it. So that'd be the first thing I would tell you. Start with yourself. Now, as far as a product or whatever, once again, it should conform to those rules.
Okay. And I know this is slightly off topic, but I'm moving to Chicago, and I went ahead and bought a sedan. Just in terms of the weather and the cold, do you think I should upgrade it to an SUV? I mean, the sedan's all-wheel drive, but I'm just not sure if you have any
Chicago. You're moving to the Carolinas. You're moving to a place that snows. It gets very cold compared to the South.
Right.
And you're not going to have the option, if you have to have a place to commute, you're not going to have the option of saying, ooh, hell, it snowed today. It's going to be snow for the next few weeks. So I'm just saying, you won't really have the option of doing what we're accustomed to. You and I are from the South, even though you're further north than I am, even in Louisiana. You know, and it snows every few years in Louisiana. It's more of a regular thing in once you start getting to Carolinas and Virginia. It's an every year thing in Illinois, Minnesota, all those places. So that's the regular occurrence. Salt under the vehicles, they rust out the vehicles and stuff. Those are things you have to be wary of. So it's a different ball game than you're accustomed to in southern states, and certainly from what we're accustomed to in the deep South. So what I am going to say is I'd rather have it, not need it, than need it, not have it, especially if I'm going to be there for an extended period of time. Now, I've got full-size SUVs, and they're all four-wheel drive, which is great for me. I've never had to worry about anywhere I was going as far as being ready with a vehicle. I've never had to worry about that. Would I want to have just a regular passenger car? I don't know. For me, if I had my druthers, I would rather be prepared, not surprised.
I see. So, I mean, okay. So, essentially, just go ahead and, I guess, as they say, bite the bullet.
I just got
the car, maybe.
At least you have a four-wheel drive. I mean, at least you have a four-wheel drive vehicle. So, technically speaking, you've really got the minimum that you need, to be totally honest. Technically speaking, you have that already. So, What model is it?
It's a Lincoln MKZ 2017.
Okay. Well, technically speaking, you already have that. So there's plenty of MKZs up there. So technically speaking, you've pretty much got that. As long as you're not dealing with rear-wheel drive, that's the real issue, is if you had rear-wheel drive. Front-wheel drive would be a bare minimum, but if you have four-wheel drive at the very least, then I think you'll be okay. When are you leaving?
My start date is October 10th. I was going to try to get there maybe around October 1st just to try to get settled in.
Okay. Are you going to have to commute?
No. The firm is actually located in downtown, and fortunately, they pay enough for me to be able to afford downtown. So my commute shouldn't be any more than two, three miles.
Okay, you must plan to live on the north side then.
Yeah, I don't know the side, but probably from what I've heard.
Sounds like that's where you'll be at. So, technically speaking, like I said, I mean, you need to be prepared for that. It's going to snow up there. It's bitterly cold. I've been several times. It's a cold that we're not used to as Southerners. It's totally different. But if you are going to have a vehicle for that, that's I think you have at least the bare minimum that you would need right now. I don't really think you need to go out of your way. I think you have the bare minimum that you need. Make sure you drive.
Sounds good.
Most people get in trouble in the snow for one reason. They don't drive like they got some damn sense. They're trying to drive on snow the way they would on regular roads. Or they fall into the got the hang of it fallacy. Just as soon as they feel like they got the hang of it and they're out there driving in the snow, then they start trying to push it to see how fast they can go. So instead of being happy that they're moving along at 15 or 20 miles an hour with no issues, they try to see if they can bump it up to 30 or 35. They try to figure out where the ceiling is, as opposed to just being like, hey, I'm making it at 15, 20 miles an hour. I'm doing good. Damn everything else. I'm going to make it where I'm going. That's where, typically speaking, people get into trouble, regardless of the vehicle, because I've lived in many parts of this country, and I had rear-wheel drive vehicles the whole time. Never got stuck anywhere. Never got yanked off the road anywhere. Never slid off the road anywhere. It's never happened. But then again, I drove like my life depended on it. I didn't try to keep up with the four-wheel drive pickup trucks and things. I never did. Never had an accident. So more than anything else, brother, no matter what you're driving, four-wheel drive, two-wheel drive, unicycle, act like you got some sense. Your number one goal is to get to your destination. If you do that, what you're driving really becomes ancillary. Drive like you know you need to make it where you're going. And that means I'm not worried about nobody else out here. I'm worried about the vehicle I'm in. This ain't no race. They're not going to pay me more money if I show up 5 minutes early or 10 minutes early. I'm not going to get a prize for beating everybody else on the freeway to the off-ramp. Drive like you've got some sense. You'll be fine.
Okay, perfect. I appreciate that. And Black First.
Black First is always here. Stay off the damn Dan Ryan. Caller from area code 713. You're on live with the business. What's your name? Where you calling from?
It's CJ from Houston.
Okay, PJ from Houston, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I just had a quick question on people that say you need a sponsor, man. When you're out here branding, you know, promoting your brand, some people say you need a sponsor. Some people say you need rappers or celebrities to, you know, push it. What you say to them type of people?
That's nice and everything, but you can't depend on celebrities to boost your brand for you. There's plenty of rappers out there who have paid all kinds of folks to be features on their songs. Snoop Dogg has talked about that. They got a bunch of folks. If you pay Snoop Dogg enough money, he'll be a feature. He'll do a feature on your song. He sure will. How many folks has he done that for? Dozens. How many of them ever got on? Practically none. So don't think that association is going to boost your brand. If you ain't got the right stuff with you, it doesn't matter who's around you. Think of it like a record label that has a stable of rappers. Okay, they got 10 rappers. Two of them are any good. The other 80% are forgettable. Cash Money Records. Everybody liked Juvenile's first album. What happened after that? I can show you a picture from Cash Money Records that had, 20 dudes in the damn picture. You only recognize three of them.
I thought you was talking about the 400 degrees. My fault.
400 degrees.
Yeah, the album Juvenile. I thought you was talking about that. My fault.
Well, I'm talking about the one with Back of the Ass Up and everything. That's cool. Don't get me wrong. I can show you a picture with 20 guys on Cash Money Records, and you're only going to recognize three of them. So what does that tell you? Even being featured with these guys at the top of their game, you can't say, okay, if I can just get Snoop on my album, I'll be good. It would be much better for you. Think about Kendrick Lamar. He didn't have to be featured with nobody. You would be much better off concentrating on yourself and turning yourself into the best elite version you can be. You're already going to stand out. Because you know what's better than being featured on a song with Snoop Dogg? The only thing better than being featured on a song with Snoop Dogg is being featured on a song with Snoop Dogg where everybody's talking about you had the best verse on it.
Mm.
Now, you can't fantasize your way to that. You got to already be built like that coming in the door. Then when you do get an opportunity to work with those folk, you're not on their level. Your goal is to be above their level. When you do that, man, you hit all the cylinders when you do that. The real problem becomes convincing people that should be the goal. Most of the time, most folk are not looking to improve themselves to be the best they can be. They're looking for a shortcut. I am mortally opposed to the idea of shortcuts. I'm mortally opposed to it. You should not be going around looking for damn me shortcuts, man. Don't go around looking for shortcuts. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. Don't go around looking for shortcuts. That it's not going to happen for you. You can try it, but it's not going to happen. You can think it's okay. You can think it's all right. But the bottom line is, ostensibly speaking, that's not going to happen. So don't go chasing shortcuts. Does that make enough sense?
Yeah, got you. Yeah, I had one more question, man. You know, we come from Louisiana, and I'm looking at how the foods are cooked out there. It's kind of interesting how you have Hispanics and Asians, you know, cooking our food that we was brought up on. And I just wanted to get your take on that. Like, do we need to take back that culture of, you know, even though some of those dishes wasn't good for us, but what's your take on that, man, on this food industry that's going on in Louisiana?
Well, definitely. I mean, that's our bread and butter, man. That's who we are. So I don't have any intention of giving up any of that. That's who we are. That's what we do. And why would we? That would be silly. We're internationally recognized for that. McDonald's puts out a bunch of unhealthy damn stuff all the time. Nobody's sitting up here trying to close them down. Nobody's trying to close them down. So that's the way I see that. That's the way I see that.
And one more thing, Jason, you did say branding, and I did notice something in Houston. You know, I'm in Houston. I see a lot of Hispanic restaurants, and I see no luxury Hispanic restaurants. We have all restaurants that's on the corner of every black community. But once we go to, you know, downtown area, we see the Steak 48, you know, the 13 James Harden restaurant. And it's like, I think branding is I think that is influential, you know, because you can see on some of these Hispanic restaurants, you can see Taqueria or Tostadas, and you will see like a line going out the restaurant. And that's kind of, you know, kind of interesting as well, man.
Yeah, definitely. Like I say, that's something to keep in mind, you know, so just branding is important. I'm a firm believer in not giving up anything. I'm a firm believer in not giving up anything. So that is definitely not where I'm going to be at. I'm not going to do that at all. I'm not going to give up anything. I don't see the need nor the desire to give up anything. I think we should hold on to everything that's ours. These things take decades to build, centuries in some cases. And that's our cultural legacy, man. You know, culture is what you do. Culture simply means what you do. And I think it's very, very important for us to maintain and hold that. We've sat up here and allowed the capitalist system to use us as a farm team. They come and grab a bunch of great ideas from us, and then they go put a little twist on it. And then next thing you know, they're off to the races. And I'm a firm believer that you don't do that, man. I'm a firm believer, don't do that. These things are important. These things belong to you. Don't do that. Don't do that. Keep it where it is. Keep it G, you know, but understand it's valuable. Look, I just came from New Orleans here a couple months ago. Came from New Orleans a couple months ago. And let me tell you, it's downtown is popping. You know, it's not as great as it was here, but then again, you know, pandemics and stuff. But I'm just saying, when I went to Loretta's and other places like that, you know, that shows folk know the value of it, man. They know the value of it. So everybody else can see the damn value in what we do. Why not us? Everybody else can see the damn value in what we do. Why don't we see it? Why don't we take a moment here and we see the value in what we do? Why can't it be that instead? So guard it jealously. Because here's the crazy thing. Black folks don't see value in something until the white folks show up and start putting money into it. That's the crazy part. When the white folks show up, then black folks sit up here and spend every dime they got. Why is it we should see the value in ourselves? And the other thing is patience, man. Patience. Everybody's trying to get a damn get-rich-quick scheme. No. Have patience. Give the seeds time to grow. Give them time to grow. Don't go around looking for shortcuts. If you got the spot, people gonna know. Okay? If you got the spot, people are gonna know. If you got the talent, if you got the brand, that's what I'm saying, they're gonna come to you. Look, if you're doing things where you're supposed to, people gonna have to come fool with you. They're gonna have to. They're going to have to fool with you. If y'all do a good job at what you're doing, they're going to have to come fool with you at some point. They're going to have to on account of the quality of the work that you do. So focus on getting 100 people to rock with you. Then you focus on getting 500. Stop trying to get the million. Show me how well, think of it like a theater. You know, you got a local theater. That theater ain't got 50,000 seats. Might have 100 seats. Can you fill those 100 seats? Remember, that's how Tyler Perry got big. Can you fill those 100 seats every night for a week? If you can do that,
well, it's really the consistent.
Good, you can probably do 2,000.
Yeah.
But if you can't fill 100 consistently, the audience is trying to tell you something. If you can't fill 100 seats consistently, the audience is trying to tell you something. Snoop Dogg showing up is not going to do it for you. They'll be there as long as Snoop Dogg is there, and then as soon as he walks off the stage, your audience is going to start leaving before you can start your next set. So don't try to hot shot it, as they call it in professional wrestling. Don't try to bootstrap yourself off of somebody else. Don't try to use somebody else's name to get shine for you. Focus on you. Focus on being the best you. Focus on doing that. Everything else is going to fall into place. But not if you are not the best one. Remember, that's what record labels look for now. They're looking for the hottest rapper in Atlanta, the hottest one in New Orleans. That's why there's such competition for it now. Focus on being hot where you are and being revered where you are. Don't try to get a million people first. Get 100. Does that make sense? Be the guy that those 100 people can't wait to see. And then you can start scaling up. Does that
all right,
make sense?
One more question, JB. Yeah, I got you on that one, man. One more question. Now, you know, do you look at B1 and FBA as a brand? Or, like, because I see a lot of people, you know, representing the brand and, you know, as far as B1, but kind of having a different twist to it. Like, how do we brand it to make it FBA approved? Like, in other words, you know, we are everybody on code that's representing the B1 and FBA brand.
I mean, first of all, FBA is a lineage. So there is nothing, it has a definition. As far as branding is concerned, I think it kind of defies that, except to the point that it has a label. So I suppose it also has a perceived value to it. But like anything else, you're going to have to guard it by hand. That's not something you can just jump up on a random weekend and decide, okay, let's do something with it. So that is going to be something that you're going to have to consistently do. You're in the process of seeing that happening now, I believe. But it's always, like anything else, it's always going to have this constant tug on it to water it down and dilute it and transform it into something else. That's never going to go away. That's the whole reason why you have to do that now, because it used to be the saying black was enough. Wasn't enough. African-American was enough. Now it's not enough. So there's a whole reason. The whole reason you have to say the FBA thing is because the others have been watered down and diluted and corrupted. So that's the whole thing about it. But what you're talking about there, that's not something that, okay, if we do X, Y, Z, we'll be good. No, this is something that you have to guard by hand. You're going to have to check everybody's paperwork and check their ticket stubs walking in the door by hand. You're going to have to be on guard against heresy every day by hand. You can't phone it in. You can't automate it. You're going to have to deal with it one at a time on a one-by-one basis. That's what it's going to be.
Got you. All right.
Thank you very much for giving us a call here tonight. Definitely, like I say, you know, branding is something that you have to build, and that's something that you have to put together, but you also have to understand it is subject to people tampering with it. It is subject to that. You got to deal with it by hand. We're going to go ahead and wrap things up here. Like I say, I wanted to give you all a little bit of a class here today on branding about what works and why it doesn't. Now I think you got a bit of a better understanding. And there's some folks out there who think they're going to get certain types of results. I got a feeling that it's not going to go quite the way they told themselves it would. Hey, let's check back on them in a little while. Let's check back on them in a little while and see exactly how that went. We'll see. Because, you know, right now on Instagram, there are chicks with 500,000, a million subscribers, and them heifers are making $70,000, $80,000 a year. No lie. Being able to convert these things is difficult. No lie. Now, by the way here, I just said I'm going to go ahead and wrap things up. Caller from area code 248, why did you wait until the last second to call in? Why did you do that?
Hi, Jason. I'm be honest. I thought you had a few more calls.
Go ahead and talk here. Caller from 248, why did you wait until the last second when I said that we're going to wrap up the program and then you called in? Why did you do that?
Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Why did you wait until the last second to call in? We've been on for 2 hours. We've been taking an hour. Why did you wait until I said we're going to wrap things up and then you called in? Why did you do that?
I do apologize, sir. I was waiting. I thought that someone else had some more calls. I thought you had some more calls coming in. I apologize for that.
That has nothing to do with anything. You could have called in the last 30 minutes and you would already be in queue online. I said we're going to wrap things up and then you called in. You already know you're supposed to be on the line. You're not that stupid. You already know you're supposed to be there. What you did was you waited until everybody, I said we're going to wrap things up, and then here you come calling in with your pants around your ankles. That doesn't bode very well for your life, because how we do one thing is how we do all things. You waited until the store said, okay, we're closing up for the night, and here you come banging on the door. Hey, y'all, let me in. So how you do one thing is how you do all things.
Right.
That doesn't signal very well for your life. I have a feeling that this is the way you behave yourself on a daily basis, which means you spend a lot of time struggling and a lot of time begging people to give you things.
Yes and no.
No, the answer is yes and yes. How many children do you have?
Oh, none. Oh, no. I can barely take care of myself.
How old are you?
34.
How much do you weigh?
155.
I don't believe that one.
155.
That doesn't sound quite right. What city are you from?
Pontiac, Michigan.
And why in the world would someone from Pontiac, Michigan be 34 years old, 150 pounds, with no children?
Spoke before, I'm a lesbian.
Well, so you haven't been getting much man assistance here. And what I'm saying is that this type of sloppy behavior demonstrates why. We've been taking calls for an hour. You waited until we said, okay, we're going to wrap things up. Ooh, well, hopefully he will overturn it and let me in it over there. That's pretty stupid. And I'm going to use the word I mean to use. That's pretty dumb. You could have been standing in line 30 minutes ago, and then you wouldn't have been taking any chances at all. That was not very bright. That wasn't very bright. So that tells me how you live your life. What do you do for a living?
Oh, that's what I was calling you for.
There you go. Yeah. How we do, it ain't like that. Yes, it is. Well, yes and no. No, yes and yes. How you do one thing is how you do all things. It really is.
Yes, sir.
Especially with people you don't even know. Now, these are bad habits that you adopted when you were in elementary school and middle school, probably following behind your mother's example. Now you're a grown woman, and when you need to be quick and nimble and first in line, you're procrastinating and playing around and hoping that other people will have charity on you. Then you're surprised or hurt when nobody's got charity for you. She literally waited until we said we're done. Well, why didn't you get on here before? Oh, you were talking to other people. Well, why didn't you call in when they called in, ma'am?
I'm going to be honest. I was actually nervous. My heart has been beating the entire show because I knew I was going to call in today.
Uh-huh.
So, yes, I did 30, wait.
34, 34 years old. I want you to think this over for a moment. Jamie Harder, somebody in her life needs to be, because take a look at this deficient creature sitting here, 34 years old, and she is afraid to talk to another adult over the phone. 34. 34. Not 24, not 14. 34. 6 years away from middle age. 6 years away from middle age. She's supposed to have it by now, at least socially. She's supposed to have gotten it. 34. Still working on it.
Yes, sir.
I suspect there might be some reasons for that.
I'd say so. Yeah, I definitely had I have an issue as far as failing to launch. Sorry, I am still pretty nervous, so please forgive me for my shaky voice. Do you want me to start from the beginning? I was plumbing about a year ago. I had to stop that, due to, me not getting along with one of the supervisors, at my company. So right now I'm just kind of, floating from job to job, kind of in limbo there.
Well, I mean, we all know that works out just fine. We all know that.
No, sir.
That's exactly what I would do.
So I do apologize. I didn't mean to disrespect the program.
I think that's a brilliant idea. I mean, I would float around from job to job at 34. Why on earth would you do that?
I really want to go back to plumbing. I was originally supposed to move to Georgia and finish plumbing. Unfortunately, I'm kind of stuck where I am right now. And
why are you stuck where you are right now?
I have a vehicle that won't make the trip, so I'm trying to earn money to possibly purchase a new vehicle.
Okay. So, are you a licensed plumber?
I was in a plumbing apprenticeship.
But you're okay. Now, did you hear the question I just asked you?
Yes, I'm sorry. I do have my license, sir.
You all have to understand, when you're dealing with people with shallow, fragile egos, they don't answer questions directly. They try to answer the questions in the manner in which it bruises their little egos least, as opposed to actually answering what they were asked. You're saying that you're a licensed plumber in what state?
Michigan.
But you want to go to Georgia?
Yes.
Why Georgia?
Have you ever been to Pontiac, Michigan? I like Georgia. I have family there. It's one of the most peaceful places I've ever been. There's always work. And it's, I don't know how to describe it. Pontiac is a ghost town. There's nothing here. There's no business here. When I was a plumber, I was working about an hour away.
Have you ever been to the top of the Empire State Building?
No, I've never been to New York.
Have you ever been to Hudson Yards?
No.
Have you ever been to the Wilshire Grand?
No.
Tallest building in the Western United States, just so you'd be aware. You ever been to the Sundial restaurant at the top of the Westin?
No.
Tallest restaurant hotel in the Western Hemisphere. I could keep going here for a minute because she asked me, have you ever been to Pontiac, Michigan?
I'm sorry, you said you've been everywhere. So I figured you might have floated through the ghost town once or twice on your way to Detroit, possibly.
Yes, I know Pontiac, Michigan. They named a whole car after it.
Mm-hmm.
The only brand from General Motors that has not been resurrected yet. Yes, I'm very familiar with Pontiac, Michigan, just like I'm familiar with Dearborn, just like I'm familiar with Lansing. So Pontiac, right. Those places would be places you would live, but everybody goes to the more developed areas for working, ma'am.
Right.
What they don't do is pack up and leave the state. Now, that's what they don't do. In the chat room, Ramath said it better there. It's because Georgia has a bigger gay population. That's more the correct answer. Is Georgia's, she wants to go down to that Atlanta area because she's like, okay, well, there's more gay folks down there. And that's perfectly fine for you to make that kind of calculus if you wish to, although I have real questions about how well that's going to turn out. Because already I'm hearing things that sound to be a problem. And by the way, everyone, just understand something. This is an individual who's trying to get her life together. I'm not trying to get mine together. Every time I tell her what the issue is, she keeps trying to tell me what it isn't. And in reality, there's only a few different ways a person can get to where you are. There's not 50,000. Just because you're in denial of the circumstances that put you where you are and you don't really want to come to grips with what the bad decisions really were and where you're really messing up at, that's not going to change what it is. She's 34 years old. She lives in Michigan. She claims that she has a broken down car that won't even make the trip from Michigan to Georgia. She's 34, not 24. She is a licensed plumber in the state of Michigan, but telling us that she can't make any money. Have I basically described your situation?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I got just one question to ask you here. What is preventing you from taking your ass to go work in Dearborn or Detroit? That's nowhere near the distance of Georgia. Are you going to tell me that they don't need plumbers in Dearborn or Detroit?
Okay, so this is interesting. When I was a plumber, I was the only female. They would not let me work in Detroit, at least by myself.
They would not let you work in Detroit. What the hell are you talking about?
Sorry, the company I was working for. My apologies. I don't know how else to describe it. It's kind of dangerous when you give them the prices to your work. I've run into some disgruntled customers. Some people pull guns out on you. Some people threaten you with weapons and things like that. I chose a bit of a dangerous trade. I didn't know how aggressive people were until I got into this trade. I love it quite a bit, but as far as working in Detroit, no. But
is it
sure,
because maybe you strike people as being very masculine or you strike them as being very procrastinating?
I get most aggression from male customers. And it's usually because being a female, and I'm 5'4", being a female, they usually don't think I know what I'm talking about. That's typically
it. Did you all notice that I asked her a question and she did not answer the question she was asked? Did you all notice that? Exactly what I said before, by the way. You notice she just did that again? So she strikes me, she's somebody who thinks she knows it all. She's not really looking for answers. She just has her own way of seeing the world, and she wants to sell you on that as opposed to actually listening. But by the way, she didn't answer the question I just asked her. Now, she knows she didn't answer it either, by the way. So she wanted to get on the phone and, quote, talk to me. She doesn't want to talk to me. She wants to talk at me. I don't have anything to learn from you, nor do I wish to learn anything from you. I like to succeed in life. But by the way, couldn't help but notice to tell you, by the way, kid, you did it again, and you just keep doing it. You were asked a question, and you avoided it. I'm not here to chit-chat.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. No, I do apologize. I didn't mean to do that.
Somebody I would want to chit-chat with, and yet that's okay. What you're trying to do. If that continues, then I will give similar answers, which will not help you very much. Were the customers behaving that way because you strike them as very masculine, or were they behaving that way because you strike them as very procrastinating and incompetent? Which one is it?
I'd say the latter.
So customers didn't seem to have very much confidence in you.
Right.
Because you see, if a female knows what she's talking about, men are going to recognize that readily. Because you see, you won't be sitting there talking your damn ass off at them. You'll be too busy getting it fixed and done, and he won't be able to argue with it. Even if he doesn't like the fact that a female knows is more handy than him, he can't argue with the fact, I'll be damned, she took it apart, fixed it, it's working again, that, I thought it was XYZ, she didn't argue with me, she showed me what it was, I'll be damned. You see, that's the way that works. But you're telling me there was a lot of argument going on, which means that what you're doing on the phone with me, as I said, how you do one thing is how you do everything. So that tells me you got a bunch of jaw-jacking, slacking off, procrastinating. You make a bad impression coming in the door. And then when folks are really like, yeah, we don't have very much confidence in this person, then you're blaming it on something else. Well, you see, it could, as a woman, you're a lesbian. By your own admission. And I'm seeing the way in which you carry yourself on this phone with me. Yeah, you would get the same reception here that you would get there. You don't instill very much confidence in people. And it certainly doesn't translate to competence. That's not just me talking to be snarky. Confidence is something that is self-showing. It's self-evident. If you're fighting to get people's confidence, it's because they can see, not very much here. And it'd be one thing if you encountered it in one place. If you're encountering that on a regular basis, guess what, kid? The only common denominator is you. Now, what you're trying
to...
Excuse me. What you're trying to do, Miss Talk Mouth, is you're trying to convince everybody else that the city of Detroit is out to get you. That's what you're trying to tell all of us, that the city of Detroit is out to get just you. Leaving everybody else alone, the city of Detroit has a particular bone to pick with you. That's what you're trying to tell us now. That's what you just said. The city of Detroit is out to get me. Just me. Leaving the other plumbers alone, it's singling me out for particular punishment. Do you know what that sounds like?
Confused.
Now she's mumbling. That's interesting. When she wanted to sit up here and slap her damn gums, she talked a whole lot louder then.
I'm sorry. An excuse.
You think? So go ahead. Finish telling me about how the city of Detroit is so targeting. By the way, what's your name?
Ashley.
It doesn't matter. Okay. What is your name?
Ashley.
Okay. The city of Detroit is targeting Ashley. Think that over.
I'd also want to
think that over for a few seconds. The whole, her complaint to me is that the city of Detroit has it in for Ashley. How in the hell is it that any plumber in Detroit is making any money then? How is that, Ashley?
I can't speak for them, sir. But I would agree with you, sir, as far as the
company goes. Are you telling us that you are that there are no black gay plumbers in Detroit?
I mean, I'm sure there's plenty.
Okay, then how is it they're making it and you're not?
The company I worked for wouldn't put me in Detroit, sir.
Okay. You have your license, do you not?
I wanted to, I didn't want to cut you off, but I actually wanted to add that
did you all see she just did it again? Now, she's going to tell us the problem is the customers, the problem is the company, the problem is the city. You know this now. That's what she's going to say. And if the only person you listen to is her, you won't realize that, by the way, she's all kinds of screwed up. Ma'am, what were you just asked?
I'm sorry. I'm trying not to say the wrong thing. I was asked if I had my license.
Uh-huh. And what did you say when you were asked that?
Began to go into an explanation instead of just answering a yes or no question.
Yeah. Do you see a problem, Ashley?
Yes, I do. I know that I have that same issue that a lot of people have as far as
a lot of people have. Here's the problem. You're the one with the disease.
Correct.
And on this phone call, rather than you self-correcting, you are instead proving that you can repeat the same stupidity. 34 years old, not 24. She doesn't have a bunch of runway in front of her. What little runway she has left, she squandered it for the last 16 years. Whenever she gets asked a question, her ego is so fragile that she refuses to answer a question directly, and she just starts talking about something else. Then she does this in front of customers. She does this in front of employers. She does this in front of contractors. She does this in front of random people. And then she can't figure out why it is that everyone just wants to get her out of their face. But she already knows why. She's been coddled to death, which is why her sexuality is screwed up. She's been coddled out of this world. And instead of becoming an adult, she's instead expecting everybody to coddle her. Now that they're not coddling her, she's like, well, can I run to another place where I think it would be a safe space for folks like me? Yeah, socially it would be a safe space, but financially you're just going to run into the same issues. Only it'll be fellow studs doubling up on you down there. So you'll notice more of that occurring. But if you think that you're going to find a safe space that's going to coddle you, well, no.
I still don't want to say the wrong thing.
That was a yes or no question you were asked. How can it be the wrong thing, Ashley?
I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'm just really nervous talking to you. I'm not trying to be combative.
You are illiterate.
I'm not trying to be combative, I promise.
No, you're just being stupid.
Right.
Ashley, are you a licensed plumber?
My plumbing license has been expired for a few months now.
So in other words, you lied earlier when you said you were a licensed plumber, because this is the second time I've asked that question. At the beginning of the call, you said you were a licensed plumber. Everybody
I
heard
my license,
everybody
oh, yes,
heard
I,
you say that.
Yes, sir. And I did try to explain, I think the second time you asked, I was going to explain.
You didn't try to explain a damn thing. You should never have said that you had that you were a licensed plumber. No, you're not a licensed plumber. You're a formerly licensed plumber. As I said, when you're dealing with somebody with a fragile, bloated ego who has been placated, spoiled, rotten their whole lives, now she's a grown woman who can't function. She sits in front of other people and just says a bunch of lies and gobbledygook, and then she figures if they don't ask enough questions, you're a liar. You outright lied and said, I am a licensed plumber. No, you're not. You're just some stumbling liar who used to have a plumbing license. You don't have one. If you attempted to operate as a licensed plumber today, you'd get into legal trouble. You're not a licensed plumber. You're just somebody with a fragile, broken ego and emotional problems pretending you have something. And how you do one thing is how you do all things. And all you've done is get on this phone with your ridiculous fiction that your employer and the customers, hell, the whole damn city of Detroit and Pontiac, Michigan, are all out to get you. It isn't the fact that you're a deplorable liar. It isn't that. It's that everybody else doesn't know how to value you. That's what the problem is. If they would all just know how to value you better, that'd be okay. It isn't that you are really messed up. It's not that. It's the rest of the world. Which is how she can have access to three cities and can't make anything pop off in any of them. The problem is the cities. The problem is the employers. The problem is the customers. Hey, Ashley, what about you? No, Mike. Three places and can't make it crack off nowhere. And then she's sitting up here with this delusion that she's going to go to Georgia. You mean Atlanta is what you really mean. Now, I'm going to go to Atlanta, and don't worry, the rest of the gay population will look out for me. I got family down there. You're a 34-year-old woman. You shouldn't be relying on that. Well, they've been coddling me all these years. Okay. And take a look at what you've turned into. Take a look at what you are. There's nobody screwing you up. It's just you. It's just you. Lack of discipline, lack of integrity, lack of competence. It's just you. Why did your plumber's license expire, Miss Non-Plumber?
When I got demoted after not getting along with the manager, they put me in the office. I didn't, unbeknownst to me, they did not tell me that I had to consistently be out in the field. Otherwise,
you knew that. Sorry? You already knew that.
I didn't.
You can't maintain any type of license if you're not actually operating in the field. You already know that. You were doing what you've been doing on the phone with me. You've been playing around and bull jiving, and then now you just let it go slip out of your hands. That's what you did. You're not supposed to be sitting up here getting along with them people. You're supposed to be the best damn plumber in the Midwest, so that it doesn't matter where the hell you go. Instead, you want to sit up here and argue with folks because you're trying to figure out how to not do any work. And problem, you don't strike anybody as being dainty enough for them to sit up here and alleviate you from that. No, you too rough around the edges and through the middle. So nobody's going to give you any dainty treatment. Ashley, what they're going to do is set you up, as I said before, they're just going to set you up to get them the hell out of their faces. And guess what? They helped you get rid of your own license, and you did that, and then get rid of the job. And now next thing you know, here you are out here begging and pleading, which is why she comes stumbling on my phone at the last moment here with her delusions of entitlement. And nobody's treating you like a lady, not the customers, not the job, not anybody. Once you found out that your license had expired, what did you tell them?
They wouldn't let me get back in the truck. So I ended up leaving the company because the office wasn't there for the office.
Now she's mumbling again.
I'm sorry. I ended up leaving the office because they wouldn't give me – they wouldn't put me back in the truck.
I don't see how you could stay in the office either if you weren't a plumber.
I was in the dispatch and CSR.
Well, that would be a heavy step down. So, in other words, they gave her a non-plumbing job, and guess what, everybody? She couldn't figure out that she didn't have her plumbing credentials anymore if she wasn't actually still working as a plumber.
I thought because I worked for the company still, the hours would still rack up.
You knew full well that you were not working in the capacity of a plumber. You were working as a dispatcher. There are no working plumbers in a damn dispatch office. You know that.
Correct.
Yeah, you didn't for a moment think that you were holding on to a plumber's license working in the dispatch office. There are no plumbers who do the dispatching, ma'am.
I didn't know they would take it from me.
Ma'am, the company took something from you, ma'am? How did the company take something from you?
No, no, I didn't know they would stop logging my hours, and it has to be consecutive from what my boss told me. It has to
okay,
be.
Okay, then you, ma'am, in a skilled trade, you knew that going in the door. You already knew that. This is called you not handling your business. By the way, what was it that you were so stupid as to argue with your manager over that got you taken out of the truck to begin with?
The Grant Cardone Academy, he had us signed up for that, and I had to watch a chapter of videos, and each video might be 1 hour. One video could be 5 minutes, and the videos could be 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. And I didn't finish that chapter, and he suspended me And I had a large job that I had to return to, and I asked if I could, if I could just go to this job and then come back because the customer was waiting for me first thing in the morning. He refused. My direct supervisor got involved. My manager got a bit disrespectful, and then things just kind of went downhill from there.
In other words,
and that's when
you made the same wonderful impression on everybody else that you've made here. So basically, you're saying that you made the same wonderful impression on your employers that you made here. Folks, she's still on the line. She's just totally quiet now. Remember before, you couldn't shut her up. Now, all of a sudden, you can't make her say anything.
I never know when to speak. I'm sorry.
Okay, ma'am. So you're saying that you made the same wonderful impression on your employers that you made here.
Sure.
Now, you had a video to watch, and you couldn't be bothered to, as a condition of your employment, and you knew that, and you couldn't be bothered to watch it. And then instead of correcting the oversight, you told your manager, well, why don't I just go back out to the job site? By the way, the job site that she was complaining about before, these job sites, they're so dangerous and everything. Well, she wants to go back out to this one. Yeah, y'all, lies on top of lies. This one wasn't too bad. As a matter of fact, I'm demanding to go out there. I mean, you all want me to watch a video, which is far away from the job site. Now I think I want to get back out there to the job site. By the way, I'm wondering if she left things undone at the job site that should have been already completed. Of course, she's going to say, no, that's not the case. I wonder if I talk to her former employers, if they would tell me, by the way, she wasn't getting things done. I wonder if they would say that. And lo and behold, she tells them, I want to go back out to the job site. Here's the problem, Ashley. This job site where you were working at, you're not an independent contractor, are you?
No.
So in other words, this was a job that the this was the company's job to do, correct?
Yes.
So you were more eager to get back out and work the company's job than the company was? You were not on the hook for that. The company's on the hook for that. That's their customer, not yours. So why were you more concerned about the company's customer than the company? Why were you more concerned about the
company's customer? Because my money is wrapped up in that job.
Don't you talk over me. You were already asked that question and you sat here silent. Why were you more concerned about the company's customer than the company was concerned about the customer?
Because my money's wrapped up in that job.
Okay, but the bottom line is that their customer.
Correct.
You were supposed to be concerned with doing what they wanted, which was to finish watching the video. And instead of you finishing that, you instead argue with them, well, you know, the video can wait. I want to get back out to the site again. Insubordination, ma'am.
Right.
How many companies have you worked for in the plumbing field?
Just this one. They were the first people to take a chance on me.
Sucks for them. Was this a white-owned company?
Yes.
Were your managers all white?
Yes.
So you thought you had some black female white privilege? I'll tell you about these females, even if they don't identify sexually. They think that they're friends with white folk. They think they're peers with white folk. And then the white folks show them, you're not one of us. She thought she could sit there and argue with those people. A black male would never have been that stupid. You thought you were peers with them. They showed you what you weren't. How long did you work for them?
A little over a year.
So in other words, it's not like they got you like they do black males. It wasn't like they got you out of there in 90 days.
Yeah, believe it or not, they did actually get rid of, I was me and a bunch of other black males when I first got there.
Ma'am, you were there for over a year. And by your own admission, it was your fault that you got removed. By your own admission. The problem's not them. I've been on the phone with you now for longer than I should have been. The problem's not them. You procrastinate. You've got laziness issues, entitlement issues out of your ass. You are not particularly driven. You are insubordinate. You are counting on people to coddle you, and then you think you're going to yank out the LGBT card, and then you found out you don't have one. Then when she gets asked about these things, she starts resorting to deceit and lying and everything else. And I guess she figured I wasn't going to keep asking questions. It's like, ma'am, your story made no sense from the very beginning. It does make sense now. 34 years old, no children. I noticed I didn't say anything about pregnancies. Have you ever had a boyfriend?
In high school?
Since you've been grown, ma'am.
No.
That no sounds real damn weak. You mean that you have never been naked in bed with a male in your adult life?
No. Not like, no. I've dated men, but no.
Okay, so you have dated men then.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you describe it. I saw a guy in a dorm room.
You notice how you keep breaking that down. Well, I mean, no, I didn't. I don't know how you wanted me to describe it, sir.
I know. I had a boyfriend in high school as far as talking to guys in college, yeah, freshman year, and I was done with that, like, after 3 months.
Okay. So you're saying that from the age of 18 to 34, you have not had a male in your life?
Romantically, no.
Okay. In what capacity has a male been in your life then?
Friends and family.
Friends and family. So you think that you have male friends who are friends with a lesbian? That's what you think?
Oh, no. Actually, no. No, not at all. The night my grandmother died, one of my friends tried to have sex with me. I guess my grief was going to be, I guess, easy in.
But you already knew that. You know full well men don't have any interest in a lesbian chick. You already know that.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Okay, then why are you calling them friends? The word is orbiters.
A female,
as long as I can string him along, we'll see how many years he keeps orbiting for something I have no intention of giving him. But if I can trick him long enough, talk about nature of deceit, if I can trick him long enough, he'll hang around and maybe if I ever need anything, well, he's already circling.
Oh, no, nothing like that.
Okay, just stop it. Just stop.
Okay. All right.
Just stop. You're not that dumb. You know full damn well there's no such thing as male friends, especially for a lesbian. You don't have any male friends. These are guys you keep around because periodically they might be useful for something. But you're not keeping them around because you think they're great to socialize with. That's why you said, oh, as soon as my grandmother died, yeah, one of them was trying to figure out if he could lay up. Yeah. Were you surprised? Oh, no, absolutely not. Yeah, because you know they're not your friends. You already know that. Have you had a girlfriend?
Yes.
How many?
Maybe four. And I had a domestic partnership.
In the last 5 years, how many have you had?
Two, if you count the domestic partnership.
Okay, domestic partnership doesn't mean anything. You got married?
Sure, if that's what you want to call it.
Did you notice that, y'all? Well, sir, ma'am, you're a feckless liar, and that's not a great trait to have at 34. You know full well if you got married or not, because to get
there was no wedding.
Okay, ma'am, did you go down to a courthouse and fill out a marriage certificate that is now on record? If we look up your names, both of you are legally married.
We went to City Hall in Ann Arbor and signed a piece of paper.
Okay. Are you still with this person now?
No.
Okay. Did you have to divorce them?
Yes. I had to go back to City Hall and get the paper signed again.
No, ma'am. A divorce means you have to go to court and divide property, ma'am.
No, just got the termination of the domestic partnership.
Okay, thank you. Then you were not married to this person. But you already knew that. You don't strike people as being very mentally or emotionally stable. I would recommend you stop doing this stuff because you strike people as being unstable. Like you have this fantasy world you're floating around in. And rather than giving people honest answers, you're just making up a bunch of crap and saying it. That's not good. I'm trying to warn you, this is not healthy behavior to exhibit. You know you're not married. You know you've never been married. You know that. The answer is no, I have not been. Civil union, all this crap, no, you have not been married. When you're married to somebody, it's a drawn process to get divorced because you have to divide assets. Oh, we didn't have to do that. I just went down there and told them, oh, civil union, we're done with that. Okay, then you're not married. That's not the way marriage works. How long were you first?
About six, seven years.
6, 7 years. So how did you end up being with somebody for 6 to 7 years and then they broke up with you?
Well, I left her. I guess the best way to describe it is I couldn't get rid of her. The houses we lived in were in my name. She had really awful credit, turned out. And when I did finally try to kick her out, I'm a bit of a sucker for tears, and she could cry on cue. So I guess that's the best way to describe me not being able to kick her out until finally I just moved back to Pontiac. I was in Ann Arbor.
So you say you just left her in your house?
No, I didn't want to leave her. When the lease was up, I wanted to part. I didn't want to part on bad terms.
In other words, you don't have a house. You were leasing one. So you're talking as if you own property. You didn't own anything. So the place that you were renting, the place, you knew what you were talking. You knew what you said. So don't try to act like you misunderstood something. You knew what you were trying to say. You are a pathological liar. You're trying to make it seem like you own property. No, you don't. You were just leasing a place. You were just renting a place, and she was your roommate. You're trying to make it sound like you own something. You and your roommate were renting a place. And then you decided to go ahead, according to you, because I don't have her side of the story, but we'll take, and we already know you're not very good for telling the truth. According to you, you left, although we're not clear on what the reason was for leaving. But according to you, you left. Okay, but it's not like you gave up anything. You tried to talk like you owned something. No, you don't.
No.
You and your roommate, and you left, and the roommate is still there. There wasn't anything for her to turn on no damn tears for. Well, I couldn't get rid of her. How could you not get rid of her? You're renting just like she is.
When I asked her to move, she wouldn't. But I guess that's the best way to say I couldn't get rid of her.
She is a resident there. Who the hell are you to ask her to move? If she is a resident and a tenant there, who the hell are you to ask her to move?
She moved in with me.
Okay.
And I get that she was getting mail there.
You think that changes the fact that you've made her a resident?
No.
You're not this dumb. By the way, you had known her for 6 years. How long have you two been broken up?
3.
So in other words, you've known this is almost a decade old.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been by yourself for 3 years.
Yes.
What did your ex-girlfriend do for a living?
She worked at Target.
Okay. You knew that when you met her. Was she white?
No.
What was she?
Black.
Actually black or Latina?
No, actually black.
And you've been living somewhere else now for the last 3 years?
Yes.
You've been in the same place for the last 3 years?
No. I am here at my aunt's house now.
Sounds like you ran into some issues there.
Yes.
What do you think is causing those issues?
I'd say me, like you say.
What do you think should be done about that?
That's why I'm calling you, sir. I have no confidence, like you said. I have next to none.
World. You certainly have all the arrogance in the world. See, here's the problem. The problem is your aunt took your childish ass in. That's the problem. If you knew that you could not do that, if you knew you had nowhere else to go, you would not have sat up here and talked to those people at that job the way you did. But you see, you are fatally immature, and you refuse to grow up, and that's why you're doing that the way you are. You knew what you were doing was a dumb decision, but you did it anyway. because you're expecting other people to come save you. So you complained about your ex-girlfriend turning on the tears, and yet there you are. As I said from the beginning, she's looking for other people to bail her out, as I said from the beginning. But if you didn't have them to spoil you, if those folks were not there to spoil you, you'd be acting differently. You would not be behaving this way. You'd be acting differently. If you knew that there was nobody was coming to help you, you would not have done what you did. You did it because, well, screw this job. In other words, you have not mentally and emotionally separated yourself from your childishness of being in a in your family's home. You see, if you mentally and emotionally divorce yourself from that, you'd be like, yeah, I have to handle this a certain way because there is no back there to go back to. And instead, she's 34 years old, no children, no savings, no prospects, behaving as if she's 13 years old. You see, your job is to get the people at your employment to make you the most valuable employee. See, that's the security you're supposed to be depending on now. You're not supposed to be depending on the security of returning back to your kinfolk. You're supposed to be creating the security that the rest of the society values you to a point that, yeah, this is way better than being back in the family. They value me. See, that's what you're supposed to be doing.
Great. That's what I want.
And what have you been doing to indicate that that's what you want?
Aside from saving, not really much else.
Saving. How much do you have in your savings?
$2,500.
When did you start saving?
At the beginning of the summer.
2 months ago. You said you've been working for those people for over a year.
I work at a different place now.
You said you worked for those last folk for over a year.
Right.
But you've only been saving for the last couple of months.
Right.
Do you see a problem there? She just tried to dispute me. By the way, you've already given us the math. What the hell are you trying to pull? So just you all understand, yeah, none of this makes sense the way she lays it out. When you start questioning it, all of a sudden it makes sense. She's a disciplinary problem. She's got all kinds of issues here. The whole thing when she told you about her car is in bad shape, well, go get another car. Oh, I don't have the money for that. And yet she claimed it was her roommate who had the bad income and the bad credit. You all remember that? Sound familiar? Well, it's the job. It's the customers. It's the city. It's my girlfriend that I stayed with for half a decade. Why, they're all the problem. All of them. Everyone else. What about you, Ashley? No, I'm okay. I'm just a victim of all these people out here. They keep going at me. Now she doesn't have any allies to help her anymore. There's nobody who wants to ally with her. That's the issue. The problem she has now is that she's got to move back in with her folks because she's burned all of her other bridges and nobody wants to ally with her. That's why I asked, does she have any men she's dealt with? She doesn't have any men she can go back to the Rolodex to go ahead and get to ally with her. She doesn't have anything. No males, no females, nobody in the employment system. She doesn't have anything. That's why she's thinking about going somewhere else to go live up under some other family members, because she thinks that that is going to compensate for her lack of competence. And in reality, all that's going to happen is you're going to get to Georgia and find yourself in the same position. That's all that's going to happen. I imagine you'll be falling out with your kinfolk down there very soon thereafter. That's my prediction. She's not an honest individual. She is distracted. She is delusional. She is deflective. She's just going to do this everywhere else she goes. She hasn't been able to get allies, friends, lovers, associates. She can't get any of those. How much were you making an hour when you were working at that plumbing company?
It goes off of 20%? 20% off whatever the job is. So I was bringing home roughly 15 to 2,000 because they had me on small drains mostly.
1,500 to 2,000 a week?
No, biweekly.
Okay, so you could have been making as much as $1,000 a week.
Correct.
How much are you making a week now?
Oh, 600?
Hmm. Call the clue there.
Okay.
So, what would you like to do about it?
I want to earn more money. I want to get my life together. I want to move out of my aunt's house.
Are you a disciplined enough person to do that?
Yes. Yes, I can.
Good. Then when are you going to get your license back?
I was waiting to be honest, I was waiting to get to Georgia.
I was waiting to get to Georgia.
I know. Yep.
You haven't demonstrated, get this through your little entitled spoiled brat head, you haven't demonstrated that you can make your license work in Michigan, not Pontiac, in Michigan. You haven't demonstrated the character, the honesty, or the integrity to be able to make it work in the state of Michigan. What makes you think you're going to be able to somehow snap and gain those characteristics in the state of Georgia when you've never proven you can do it in Michigan?
I don't know. The best I can do is just learn from what I did here, learn from my mistakes.
I want you all to understand something. When you have somebody who is this much of a pathological liar and they're giving you an answer that it's like, wow, the answer you're going for is so much harder than what it would be or should be where you are. Why are you demanding to take this outrageously more circuitous, arduous route when it would be so much easier to do it where you are, but there's something else she's not saying? You notice how every time she keeps referencing it, oh, I can't do it in Michigan. I can't do it here. I need to go somewhere else. That's what she's really saying. I can't do it in Michigan. In other words, she screwed up so badly in Michigan that she cannot get her license back. Now, you all notice this liar is on this phone dancing around everything else. Her answers don't make any sense. What she's proposing to do to, quote, fix it doesn't make any sense. She's desperate to leave the state of Michigan. I just got to get out of Michigan. That makes no sense. It would be much easier to fix the issue where you are unless you can't do it. Now, if she's been banned from doing it, then that would be a different problem. Now, wouldn't it, Ashley?
Yeah, that'd be a problem. But I'm not banned.
You sure are talking like it. It would be so much easier for you to simply get your license reinstated, wouldn't it?
Would it carry over to Georgia?
Okay. Why are you worried about Georgia? Why are you not focused on getting yourself straight in Michigan? And then once you prove you can get yourself straight in Michigan, then you can think about going somewhere else. You haven't proven you can float in Michigan yet.
Right. This is going to sound bad. I hate Michigan.
What is it that's happened in what is it that's happened in Michigan that you are understanding that Michigan doesn't want to work with you anymore?
It's nothing to do with the workplace. I'm not a fan of Michigan my life.
It is. You're just a liar. Yes, it is. You can't get nothing in Michigan anymore. That's the problem. And I just wanted to make it clear. You can keep lying on my phone all you want to here. I'm about to get you off of it. You're just a pathological liar. But by the way, no, you're giving these bullcrap answers because Michigan, it's not that you don't want anything to do with Michigan. Michigan doesn't want anything to do with you anymore. You don't want any, the reason why you don't consider it to be worth getting your license reinstated is because you don't want to have to explain how it got taken in the first place. And she knows that that's what's going to come up, which means that the version of the events that she has given me about her previous employer, if she gets her license reinstated, anybody will be able to see that this is her second time that she's gotten her license reinstated. They're going to want to know what happened the first time. Now, that's what any employer going forward is going to want to know. By the way, what happened to you to get your license taken the first time? Which tells you that there's more to this story that she hasn't told me on the phone. She doesn't want to have to explain. Now she's expressing she knows that she can't explain it. So that's why she's saying, you know what, let me just see if I can go somewhere else. You're not done with Michigan. Michigan's done with your ass. That's why you don't care about getting your license back in Michigan, even though it would be so much easier. Customers are customers the same around the world. There's not some special place where customers are waiting to meet your ass. There's nobody in Georgia saying, damn, I sure do wish they would hire Ashley as a plumber. I sure would love her to come out here. Nobody there knows you. There are no customers in Georgia who know you. There's none who have a special affinity for you. You're talking some fantasy as if they got some special affinity for you. No, they don't. They're the same all over the country. Why does she think Georgia is so special? Because she's blackballed in Michigan. She doesn't want to, she knows she can't really go to anybody in Michigan. Her license is DOA there. Her skill set, now she has that. She wants to take the skills to another state and get licensure in another state. So it isn't the license, it's not the skill set that's the issue, it's the license. Because if you're a skilled plumber, you should be able to get your license reinstated and get right back in the saddle right where you are. Plenty of work going on up there in Detroit and Dearborn. Plenty of work. She keeps resisting that, which means, Jason, I can't do it. Yeah, it sounds more like that. Your lack of character, your lack of honesty, your lack of integrity. Yeah, at 34 years old, she's burned so many bridges at this point. She has to leave, and she feels like she's got to exit the whole state of Michigan. She doesn't have a boyfriend. She doesn't have a girlfriend. She doesn't have a partner who will help her or assist her. There isn't anybody personally invested in her, not an employer, not a girlfriend, not a boyfriend, not a friend, nobody. And that's why she's talking the way she is. And take a look at how long she's been on this phone with me now. And I had to come to that on my own. She'll sit here and just lie all night. Because the reality is just too devastating. This is what happens when you are entitled, arrogant, stubborn, spoiled, rotten. Eventually you wake up one day and you just find yourself locked out of everything. You worked all this time to get your plumbing credentials. You should be making every bit of $100,000 a year at this point. You should be at least $80,000 a year. You should be making every bit of that. And yet, that's not happening.
Right.
So she's burned so many bridges, she's getting run out of the state of Michigan at 34. Here's the problem. I don't think going to Georgia is going to help you because you, guess what's going to go to Georgia with you? Ashley. See, Ashley's problem is Ashley. Ashley's problem is not employers, Detroit, Dearborn, ex-girlfriends. Ashley's problem is Ashley. And the problem with that is that everywhere Ashley goes, Ashley is going to bring Ashley with her. With all of these problems that she is, she's going to bring all of them with her. And in a year or two's time, what's going to happen is she's going to go down to Georgia. She's going to shack up with a screwed up ass family down there. She's going to meet another chick down there in Georgia. So that's what she's going to do. They're going to hit it off or shack it up or whatever. And I give them 1 to 2 years before the situation she's in right now replicates itself. Then she'll have a sob story down there in Georgia. Next stop, Chicago. All of a sudden, she'll start talking about how, well, I really don't like it down here in Georgia no more, right? A young female ain't supposed to talk stupid like that. You haven't learned how to handle where you're from. Going to Georgia is not going to help you. You can keep telling yourself that if you want to, but by the way, you haven't learned to handle where you're from. All you're going to do is screw up when you get to Georgia. That's all you can do because you haven't developed the skill set to succeed. Show us that you can succeed where you are, and then you can succeed everywhere else. You're not going to go to Georgia and then learn how to start being competent. That's not going to happen.
Right.
But you can give it a try if you want to. You're stupid. And it's not going to work, but you can certainly go ahead and run and try if you want to. And when it fails, because it must, then what?
I didn't plan on failing. I didn't think that through. I didn't plan on failing.
You didn't plan on failing in Michigan either, and yet you found a way to do that too.
I never looked to Michigan as a permanent residence.
You're not looking to Georgia as a permanent residence either. You're not looking to Georgia as a permanent residence either. How can that be? You've never even lived in that place.
Correct. But, you never know until you move. I moved to Washtenaw County for school, and that was the first time I was far enough away from my family to grow.
These are little desperate things right here. She didn't just give us an answer. She just gave a response. What she just said was so crazy and illogical, but she's just keeping on talking. The chat room coach Courtney, yes, probably the aunt is like, yeah, when you getting ready to move out? Because the answers she's giving are illogical. What you just said made no sense whatsoever. You're 34 years old talking about school. Get the hell out of here. What you just said made no sense. That was illogical and silly as hell. That you should really be ashamed to talk to other adults and say things like that. And I'm not beating up on you. You're 34 years old. You're talking to other adults like they're children. That's really, really embarrassing to say that. That really is. You don't know anything about the place that you claim to go. That means you're fantasizing. You literally don't know what it is or what it has to offer. Well, it's not Michigan. Neither is the Sahara Desert. I don't hear you desperate to get there either. So in other words, she's created a fantasy. And that never turns out well. You don't know anything about that place. And because you don't know anything about it, you have no tools with which to succeed. So that means you can't be going because there's something good there. You're going because you screwed yourself up so badly where you are, you can't do anything else. Because you didn't say one good reason for wanting to go there. You don't know the people. You don't know the lay of the land. You don't know the employers. You damn sure don't fit in the culture with all this lying you do. You are doomed for failure if you try that. But she's like, no, it'd be better than that. That's code speak for I have screwed myself royally in Michigan. So I hope there is some fantasy world I can go to where it's going to be a better place somewhere with a rainbow. And I'm like, okay, take it from those of us who actually live in this part of the country. Baby, you ain't ready for nothing like that. You're fantasizing. You're not ready for that. But you know what, Ashley? I'll take you up on your offer, okay?
Okay.
Here's what I'll do. How much would it cost for you to get your license reinstated in Michigan?
I think it's $50. The company pay for it, and they just took it out of my check.
Okay, but you tell me you ain't got $50 extra?
No, I'm not saying that. Yeah, I have $50.
Okay. And how much do you think it'll cost you to get your plumbing license in Georgia?
Roughly 80.
And remind everybody here about where exactly it was in Georgia you claimed you'd be going.
Powder Springs.
And there goes that thing there again. You said Powder Springs, Georgia?
Powder Springs, yes.
Okay. Now, why in the world would she talk about ghost towns in damn me, Michigan, and yet she wants to go to Powder Springs, Georgia? Why would you? You're further east. That's further west. That's further west than Marietta is.
Correct. Yeah. Marietta actually was my first thought of a destination, but no, Powder Springs.
You don't know anything about Powder Springs.
I don't. You're correct.
Then why would you want to go to a place you know nothing about?
Oh man, it's gonna be. I guess it's gonna be a dumb. A dumb answer. It is very peaceful out there.
How do you know it's peaceful?
I've been to Powder Springs to visit.
For how long?
About a fortnight every time I go, which is about twice a year.
Have you ever had to stay long enough to pay rent?
No.
So in other words, you're fantasizing. In the chat room, you all are right. For her to be this dogmatic about it, it doesn't make sense unless she knows somebody there. It doesn't make what she's saying is lying and makes no sense unless she knows somebody there, or at least she thinks she does. So what she's saying, it'd be too damn risky. It's like, wait a minute, when you add this up on paper, there's no way that this is better than Michigan. And yet she keeps insisting on it, which means she's not being honest. But you know what? Here's what I'm going to do for you, Ashley. What I'm going to do here is I'm going to recommend that you go relocate to Powder Springs, Georgia. That's what I'm going to recommend that you do. And you're going to get your plumbing license down there in the state of Georgia. Okay?
Okay.
And since it's only $80, that means you should be up and going within, what, a month, maybe two at the very most?
As far as moving?
Well, as far as moving and getting employment, I mean, were you just going to move? What were you going to do when you got there if you don't have employment, ma'am? How are you going to take care of yourself?
Well, I'm currently stuck here. Until I can get another car. That's the thing.
Okay. Why do you need to get in? I mean, but you're currently stuck there. Well, how are you going to get down to Georgia then with all these damn highfalutin ideas you got?
Well, originally I was going to drive, but my car just recently started to break down to its full capacity. I was told it couldn't make the trip.
Go on.
I don't want it breaking down on my way there. Say it breaks down in a, say, sundown town.
I thought you liked
peaceful. Yeah. Peaceful. Sorry, the phone broke up. Peaceful what?
The entire state of Georgia is a sundown town. Like I said, then why are you talking stupid about it? I wouldn't want to break down the sundown town. The entire state of Georgia is a sundown town.
I suppose in a rural area, by myself.
Powder Springs is a rural
Deliverance.
Area. Powder Springs is a rural area. I think that place has a population of maybe 10,000 people. Maybe.
I didn't want it breaking down on the way there. I didn't want it breaking down on the freeway or breaking down on a dirt road or breaking down somewhere I couldn't be. I couldn't be 100% safe.
Okay. Well, then in that case, I don't know what you're calling me for then. So you called saying you want to leave the state of Michigan and go to Georgia. So I've now said, okay, you know what? Go ahead and go to Georgia. Now she's saying she can't do it. So why are you on my phone?
I'm sorry. I thought I explained my car situation at the beginning of the phone call. I was calling.
You stated about the
for direction.
Car. Stated about the car.
I was.
Are you here trying to ask for a loan?
No. I was trying to get some direction on how to better my life, as you say. I mean, I've been drowning thus far, and I'm 34. I don't want to drown anymore.
Okay. What did Jason tell you through this whole phone call?
You told me to stay here and perfect my craft here.
And what do you?
Because if I can't succeed,
what do you say when Jason said that?
I wanted to go to Georgia.
No, you said I'm going to go to Georgia. I don't want to be here in Michigan anymore. I'm not here to argue with you. I've already told you what the prescription is. You're just so used to people sitting up here coddling you and spoiling you. I'm not here to coddle or spoil you. I've told you what the math says. $2,500 is not enough of a financial cushion, especially in this hyperinflated environment, for you to talk about moving from one state to another, especially if you don't even have a reliable car. You would be far better off getting some integrity and maturity and getting yourself stabilized where you are. You already have a skill. You're trying to avoid adulthood, and right now all you're doing is messing your dumb ass up even more. But understand something. That's the prescription for you. You need to actually discover something new in life. It's called being an adult. And you need to stop upsetting people because you don't have the option or luxury of doing so. And you need to get some folks to invest in you, starting with an employer. You need to be their most favorite person to deal with. That's who you need to be. And until you develop those skills, you're going to get short. You think you got it easy up there in Michigan. Ma'am, you ain't dealt with white folk or southern black folk here. We're going to kick your ass. They coddle y'all up there in those northern states and midwestern states. You ain't going to get nothing down here but a hard time and a hard way to go. That's all you're going to get. But go ahead and tell yourself that your family is going to protect you from that. The only way that's going to happen is if you stay sitting in the house with them all the time, and they're going to get tired of you like your aunt is. At some point, you're going to have to swim on your own. And I recommend you do it in Michigan, where you actually have people that you know, an environment that you know, and actually start demonstrating that you can deal with that. And then if you decide you wish to leave, it will be because from a position of competence, not from a position of fear and desperation, which is where you currently are. Which furthermore, the crap you talk, this is the real pathetic part about this phone call, which you called me talking about you can't even do. I sat here and said, okay, Ashley, let's go to Georgia. She says, I can't do it. Then Ashley, what were you looking for me to tell you then? I told you stay in Michigan and make it work. I don't want to stay here. Okay, well, let's go to Georgia. Can't move Georgia. Okay, then what were you looking for then?
Okay, I can see why that is.
She did it again. What were you looking
for?
You said you
can't. I was looking for answers.
Don't talk over me. This cinder block-headed heifer better watch herself. You said you don't want to stay in Michigan, and you said you can't move down to Georgia. You've been on this phone way too damn long. So what exactly was it you were looking for, since you already knew you were going to say, I don't want to stay in Michigan and I can't move to Georgia? You said that at the beginning of the phone call. Then what exactly is it you're looking for?
I was looking for your opinion on my shoddy plan.
Okay, I gave that to you and you kept saying I can't stay in Michigan.
I'm sorry about that.
You're not sorry about that. You gave every excuse under the sun. You're only $50 away from getting your license reinstated. You don't want to do that either. She keeps talking about this Nirvana fantasy world of down there in Georgia, which people who actually live down there in the Atlanta Metroplex like this heifer is a lying ass. There's nothing special about Powder Springs. And she's sitting up here trying to tell people who live in Atlanta that Powder Springs is some paradise. When they know full damn well there's nothing special about Powder Springs. It's a patch of dirt like any damn other. It's not beachfront material. It's not wealthy. She's talking about Pontiac, Michigan's a ghost town. Powder Springs has a population of, I just looked it up, 15,000 people. And this heifer's on my phone lying her ass off as if there's something fantastically special about Powder Springs. There's nothing special about it except maybe she has a kinfolk down there or some boo who wants to get her flued out. That's all. But there's no better economic opportunities down there of all places. You're basically recreating the dynamic where you are. So why is it that that dynamic is so inviting in Georgia but not in Michigan? Oh, yeah, she hasn't burned any bridges down there in Georgia. But she's getting ready to. So like I say, she's concocted a fantasy world. She's a pathological liar. She keeps making this stuff up. She didn't expect that somebody would actually know what this is. She's given half answers. Well, maybe I can just give them half the information. They'll give me something I want to hear. No, I've already been there and done that. She's looking for a new place to reinsert herself and see if she can start over again. Problem, she doesn't have any friends to help, and she doesn't have any money to finance it. So in other words, this doesn't actually happen. So you can keep fantasizing about this if you wish to. Your best option would be to get off your lazy ass, go and get your plumbing license reinstated, and then you go to those employers and do something you're not used to. Be a honest, competent individual and wrap your lips around them folks' butt cheeks till they give you a position. And then you show up every day on time and you make sure you are the best little employee they've had. And I don't give a damn if they ask you to watch the entire Lord of the Rings Hobbit trilogies and read War and Peace as a condition of your employment. You get off your lazy ass, you watch every video they give you, you read all the books they want you to have, and you demonstrate to them that you are the best employee that they've got. And then you will not be begging for more money. They will give it to you because you have demonstrated the one thing I've told you all is most important in all relationships, to present to that person that you are their best option for getting what they want. And if that is what they want, your job is to demonstrate that. If you think you're going to come down to Georgia and not give them what they want and it's going to work out better, you are delusional. You have $2,500 to your name. That is not enough to buy a reliable car in the year 2022, and it's really not enough to put down a down payment on a car right now as that stands, although you could try it. I just don't know the quality of what you will get. Doesn't sound like you have the money keeping up a car note while you're at it.
No.
By the way, what is the issue that your current car has?
It's control. I think they're called control arms in the front, and my engine. We can't figure out what's going on with that.
The control arm. The control arm on a motor mount.
Oh, so you're getting into conversations I don't know. See, I'm not that kind of butch lesbian. I don't know any of that stuff.
Here's the problem. The problem is this is what happens when silly-ass chicks out here floating around by themselves. Every male in the chat room right now is going to laugh. And the reason they're going to laugh and you all accept that and absorb it is because if your problem is just a control arm and a motor mount, that's embarrassing. That's not a $1,000 fix. That's a few hundred-dollar fix. Yeah, she doesn't want to be dainty. Now she wants to be dainty, by the way. Now that we said get your ass up in the car with a socket wrench, now she wants to, I can't do that. I'm dainty. Can't you see the eyes open? Now y'all know that as soon as we say, here, take this crescent wrench and get your ass up in this car and change out these control arms, get you a ball peen hammer so you can go ahead and change out these control arms. Now all of a sudden she don't want to. Now all of a sudden, wait a minute, now I is dainty. Hand me my Manolo Blahnik.
Yeah,
Rick,
I'll admit I'm not one of those.
He said, I can fix that for you for $2,500. Okay. Rick, you about to empty her damn bank. That's a few hundred dollars to fix something like that. And it's not like she's got major engine trouble. What model of car is it?
It's a Jeep Liberty.
What year?
Sorry, 2002.
That thing is old enough to fight in the military.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not it's on its last leg.
Okay, well, when did you buy it?
About 3 years ago from the veterans auction.
So you bought it 36 months ago. So it's not like you had it for 10 years.
No.
You've had 3 years now. Did you pay cash for it?
Yes.
You've had 3 years to save up your money, and you didn't move a muscle. Do you see where the problem is?
Yeah.
3 years, and she didn't move a muscle. Only started saving up money in the last few months, and that was it. Ma'am, you need to get serious about your life. You need to get serious about you. So right now you've been playing around and fooling around. Now you're 34 years old. You need to get serious about you. So what I'm going to recommend to you is get your plumbing license back. Get serious about being a skilled plumber. Be the best damn skilled plumber in Detroit. Save your damn money up so you can go ahead and get rid of this junk mobile that you got and get you a reliable late model car, something made since 2017. Get you something late model, no Chrysler products, no Kia. I would recommend either Toyota, Honda, or Ford. And it needs to be something you need to have a mechanic go with you to go ahead and make sure you're not getting a piece of junk because you're just going to screw it up. And then you need to focus on eating bologna and cheese sandwiches and being the best plumber you can be until you've actually saved up enough money that you can get another car and then start making some real moves. But that is what your focus needs to be singularly focused on now.
Okay.
Now, I would like to hear back from you in 90 days. To be totally honest with you, I want to hear back from you in 90 days. I want to hear back from you in 30 days. That should be long enough to get your license reinstated, should it not?
Yes, sir.
So I should hear back from you in 30 days or less to regale me about how you have gotten your license reinstated. Once you have done that, then we can see about putting it to work for you. Can you not?
Yes, sir.
Then that, you wanted to know what the plan was from Jason. That's the plan.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Does that sound like something workable to you?
Yes, sir. I believe in you. I can do that.
Now, that was a text message that you just received from me. That was that buzzing thing everyone just heard. That was a text message that she received from me. The reason for that is so if she does show up on this line again, I will know exactly who it is. And if we do not hear from her, and if I feel like being harassing, I have a number I can contact her at. To say, by the way, Ashley, we couldn't help but notice we hadn't heard from you yet.
Sounds good. Please do. But I'll be getting back to you in 30 days.
Are you serious?
Yes, this is why I called you. This is why I harassed you in all those emails. Sorry, I didn't mean to say that. But this is why, you know, you sent you all those emails. I'm ready. I know I'm not perfect in any way. And I want to fix that. Absolutely.
So when are we going to get started?
I'll look that up today. I don't know how the business, I don't know if it's only open on business days, but I'll get started Monday. As far as paying for the license, if I can't do it today.
So when are we going to move forward on it then?
As far as getting the license?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. As soon as we get off the phone, I'm going to look up how to go about that because, again, my company handled it. And then, yeah, we'll go from there. If you like, I can email you the moment I do it.
Well, what are you hanging around here for?
Thank you for your time, sir, and your patience with me. I'll see you later.
Get off the phone and get to
it. Okay, yes. Yes, sir.
All that damn jaw jacket ain't going to get nothing taken care of. You're not somebody I want to chit-chat with. Yes, indeed, everybody needs to know. If you're a female in my circumference and whatnot, you better ask all my exes. You need combat pay. No, sir, pandering don't work over here at all. When y'all meet men, you're thinking, what you going to do for me? Guess what? I'm the same damn way. What you going to produce? What are you going to be producing? If you ain't in the words of T.I., if you ain't producing, you're useless. Okay. Now you know what the drill is. We'll see what happens.